Our world is dying, politicians are lying, and just when you feel like crying, sit and have a listen to people who have shit themselves.
Hello, I'm Evie.
I'm Claudia, and we are the hosts of the Poodcast. We are breaking down the poo taboo, baby.
Yeah, we are, and this week our focus will be on sanitation and stand-up. Before we get onto that, Claudia,
yeah,
how are your bum and tum, baby?
Mate, sorry, I was just thinking about what an odd, like, sanitation stand-up is like somebody saying,
a natural pairing.
I'm going to have lasagna and ice cream, but actually... If it works as well as this person, our guest, makes it work, maybe I'll start having lasagna and ice cream.
That would certainly do something for sanitation in your household if you had lasagna and ice cream.
Oh, just the mix of hot and cold makes me feel sick.
I don't like sweet and savoury together, ever.
No, I'm not a big fan of sweet and savoury.
Apart from sweet and sour sauce. That aside, I don't like it.
No, I don't really like it when people put fruit in salads and things like that.
Oh, fuck off. No. And sweet and salty popcorn. Either have salty or sweet.
That I can get behind.
Both. Can you?
That
I can get behind. Fair enough.
All right.
Anyway, let's move on to more lies. So, yeah, how have your bum and tum been?
Yeah, do you know what? They've been pretty good.
Have they?
I've been feeling good about myself.
That's amazing. And so you should. You're wearing a cracking pair of cords.
You and these cords need to get a room. You've not stopped complimenting these since you got here.
I'm wet by the cords.
Sat in wet leg
puddles over here because of them. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's happening.
Well, just take a trip down to Uniqlo, honey, and they can be yours for the price of, I think they were £35.99.
35 quid? Do you have to think I've got 35 quid to spend on
actually,
trousers?
Maybe I just pulled that out of my ass. I actually can't remember how much they were.
And they
that
look
does
great.
Sound quite expensive when I just said that out loud.
Well, it does, but only because I'm a tight bitch. And I think, actually, for the quality and the look, I should just do it because all I do is wear the same pair of jeans every day, apart from today where I've dressed like an Amish person.
I was going to say, no, I'm sorry. I opened the door to Evie today and literally went, oh my God.
You actually did. It felt amazing.
You look amazing.
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
Thank you. It's because I'm off to a hashtag business meeting, hashtag women in the workplace, hashtag female boss.
Fuck yeah.
Because I've put in a complaint about a male colleague. If that's not feminism,
sorry.
I don't know what is.
And I shouldn't laugh. Like, fucking power to you. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you. And he is a dick.
Well, there you go then.
So I've got to look professional for this meeting. So I thought the best way in which to do that was to basically wear what can only be described as a black nightdress over a white top. I'm wearing a negligee to this meeting.
This is what they do at Selling Sunset. I don't know if you watch it.
Oh my God. I'm all over the new series.
These women, they just show... I mean, I love it, but they just show up in fucking bra and pants.
I don't want to be rude. I think if I were a client and I showed up and my realtor was wearing that...
Yes.
I just don't know if it says the right thing. I saw an amazing tweet, which was a picture of a dog wearing a thong. And somebody tweeted saying, this is the cast of Selling Sunset. And I was like, it's true.
It really is. And I want to unpack this because there's such a small window.
I was thinking about
this the other day, and it was like, how far are you on the team of, no, excuse me, I can be a badass boss bitch, make that money and wear whatever the fuck I want to wear, and if you've got a problem, that's your problem, I dress for myself. But then the other side of the argument is like, well, I'm sorry, if a man showed up to a meeting in just literally nothing up top except a little bow tie, I'd be like, mate, I don't want to buy a house from you.
Especially if it's one of the twins.
Yes. Oh my Christ, no one needs to see that. So where do I fall on this topic? Like, where does professionalism come into play, and where do you have to be, look at, you know, how far we have come in terms of what we are allowed to wear? Like, I do not wear high heels to work, and when I was younger, I swear all the teachers wore like heeled shoes because I'm guessing that they were asked to.
Yeah, and it's not comfortable, not practical.
But what they're wearing is in no way comfortable. They
it's
literally
not practical.
And that is, you know what that is? I think you've hit it, the nail on the head there. Like, so often they can't sit down.
They
can't sit down to talk to their clients.
No, they can't.
Or they're like, I'm sorry, I really want to sit down and talk to you, but I'm going to flash my coochie. It's like, well, fucking don't wear an outfit then when you're going to flash your coochie.
It's difficult. I think the problem here is threefold.
Go for it.
I think the first one is that you should be able to wear whatever the fuck you want at work, mm-hmm. but I certainly don't have to like it. And they look fucking stupid. Like, they look they dress like comedy villains.
Yeah, but a part of it, don't you think, is fabulous?
Of course. But for work, you look fucking stupid.
And
okay?
the level of money.
I'm not going to ignore them or disrespect them or not treat them professionally. Yeah. But my own private judgment will be, you look fucking dumb. And secondly, I'm very aware they're mostly on a television show. So they're dressing for the camera. They're yes. probably not dressing for their job. And then the third issue is that it's not practical. They can't eat. They can't sit down.
Yeah.
They're tiny little handbags. You can't even fit a key in there.
I'm so glad you brought up the tiny fuck. I'm not a big fan of like designer handbags. For me, I don't really understand why you spend that much money yeah. on a bag. But, you know, each of their own.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
Your cash, you do what you want.
However, when I see people walking around with tiny little handbags and then their pockets are overflowing or they've also got a rucksack. I'm like, you look fucking dumb.
Oh, they've got everything in their hands
yeah.
and then this tiny little bag. Their claws, all those nails are like, it's like a key hanging off every nail.
What's the point?
Why is
it's like wearing
this?
Your pants on your head. That is not the function of the product. Like, what are you doing? It makes me so cross.
Yeah, and I think what doesn't stand them in good stead is that they're all quite deeply unpleasant people. So if this was these were amazing, incredible yeah. people, you'd be like, do you know what? You look amazing. I don't mm-hmm. care what you wear. You're great. They're actually all mean and rude and emotionally thick.
But
and
also, though, I think half the problem as well is that they're all that there's not a massive really difference in body size. Like if you
yeah,
know,
it's the same.
If they weren't all like absolutely stick thin coming in their bra and pants, I'd be like, oh,
giant fake breasts.
Yes, yeah, ginormous,
huge,
and it's like. What this is, you know, this is a celebration. Like, yes to all women wearing what they want to wear, but they're also clearly following this brief of like, we must be fit, tiny bitches.
Yeah.
Like, it just, and I mean that with the phrase of fit bitch, not saying they're all
bitches.
Some
yeah,
of them
fit,
are
fit bitch. Yeah.
Some of them are bitches.
They but, all, mostly.
I mean, I do have the time of day for quite a few of them, I'll be honest, Eves. I yeah, really like Chriselle.
From an entertainment perspective.
Mary, Amanza.
Oh, Mary.
Heather. I
love Heather.
I actually like more of them than I dislike them.
Really?
And I actually quite like Brie.
I quite like Brie. I didn't like her last series. Yeah. I like her now.
I rate her.
I think.
And she wears, I like her also because she dresses in a way that I think is like, badass without being like, oh, I can't sit down because my coochie's out. She's always wearing these amazing suits or these really
yeah.
cool dresses. Like,
yeah,
she looks like she's gonna sell you that freaking house.
And I'd buy it from her
I
and
would.
Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
That's fine. I think what I struggle with, I'm gonna get on my fucking high horse now.
I can't believe we've been talking about this for so long.
I know.
As well. Kelly, feel free to cut half of this out. I'm really sorry.
What I do find difficult to swallow is, I'm sorry, in a cost of living crisis, we're talking in an episode where people around the world don't have access to flushing toilets.
Yeah.
You're watching the most disgusting overt wealth. And in one of the episodes, yeah. they are talking about how hard it's going to be because of the mansion tax. It's going to be hard for the people who are going to be taxed because they're so rich, they have to spend under $6 million mm-hmm. on a house because otherwise they're going to be tax loads. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Can I just get my tiny little fucking violin out from your tiny fucking handbag?
Yeah.
Because this is bullshit. I don't want to hear about this. At least have the self-awareness to go, we're going to be affected at work mm-hmm. because of the tax. I'm very aware this isn't a pressing issue for the world, but we just need to bear that in mind when we're pricing property.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's like, this is a fucking disaster. And you're like, shut up. I pay for somebody else's ninth fucking property. I don't care. I've got one square foot to my name.
Yep.
And no, I don't. I have no square feet to my name.
And
I've got literally
she's
none.
Square footless.
I've got no square
foot. She's square
foot
loose and fancy free. But also, on topic of today's episode,
yeah.
have you noticed that every single one, they're like, it's got six baths and 29 baths. No,
oh,
six
yeah.
beds and 29 bathrooms.
Yeah, the Americans actually, I will back them. They are obsessed with every person that could ever be in that house
yeah.
with having their own toilet.
It's nuts how many bathrooms they have.
In the UK, you'd have like four bedrooms, a toilet and one bathroom,
yes.
or maybe two bathrooms.
Yes.
It will be like seven bedroom property, 39 bathrooms, and you're like, who is in these bathrooms?
They're obsessed with it. But I'm really glad you've made that point about having that sense of awareness when we are about to talk about the topic we're about to talk about today. And this is why I think doing stuff like this is very interesting, because it's like, you should have a healthy interest in both. It shouldn't just be
that I'm a valid bitch. Of course I am.
Binge this shit.
I love it. I do. Oh, sorry. I just also want to make that clear. I love it.
I love it. Yeah. But then I become, you know, you've just said this. I watch stuff like the Kardashians and stuff. Mm-hmm. You become desensitized to the wealth and to this disgusting display of wealth. I know that Kim Kardashian's been like hounded recently because she put up this photo of her ridiculous, lavish Halloween.
Oh yeah.
And watched the, and she's like said how much money she'd spent on it, and people are like, do you understand the state of the world right now, like what is happening right now, and you are going to display that you go this far for Halloween? It's just insane.
It is vile, and don't get me wrong, I do obviously absolutely love it and I binge it, but then as you say, getting desensitized, I will find myself watching the Kardashians and go, oh my god, but Kylie isn't gonna do Balmain, whatever it is, and I'm like, why do I fucking care about this runway that they're all dressed in again, they look insane, and I'm like, why do I care? I don't, but in the moment I really do.
And that's what it is. Is that you can leave it behind. It's when people, when I see people commenting on it, be like, why are you like this, kid? Oh, this stuff, like, oh my god, are you okay, Chloe? It's like, shut up.
No, Tristan's cheated again.
Are you actually worried if Chloe's okay? I find it really bizarre when people, the program has stopped. You think now is the time to reach out to these people, either with hate or with love. Get on with your day.
Don't reach out.
Like, understand that it was a time for you to sit and, you know, relax, process, binge, whatever you need to do in that moment. But what you don't then need to do is further on the conversation by taking out your phone and commenting like, oh, props to you, Kylie, for your cute little wax. Like, I don't give a shit.
Come on, these people can't, they just want the celebrity to engage with them, surely.
But you're not going to, honey. I mean,
sweetheart, no, there, it's no.
When we get all the 3 likes that we get, sometimes I'll, you know, like someone's comment if I have the time to engage with the one comment we got on our most recent post.
You don't have time because you're being contacted by Balmain. Oh god.
In answer, I mean,
your bum's fine.
My bum and tum are fine. I think, you know, the stories I was going to tell, I'll tell on the next, just the two of us, so we don't waste anyone's time. Are you all right, by the way?
For me, ditto.
This week, we are talking to the fabulous Professor Priti Parikh. Priti is a sanitation academic and engineer who uses stand-up to spread that turd word. She founded UCL's Engineering for International Development Centre to address gaps in infrastructure provision in resource-challenged settings in low-middle-income countries. Professor Parikh aspires to inspire future engineers to tackle global challenges such as urbanisation, climate change, poverty alleviation and gender inclusion through engineering. Priti, we always ask our guests how their bum and tum are doing currently. How are your bum and tum today?
It's in excellent shape. You know, I'm very lucky. I have a toilet in my house, which works. And you know, when I flush it, the poo goes magically into pipes, into sewer networks in London, and to a treatment plant where it gets treated. And I have a tap with running water where I can then wash my hands. And I'm delighted to report my bum and tum, therefore, are doing okay.
I love that.
Fantastic. And an answer I can truly say we've never had before.
Never. And it takes these moments where suddenly you're like, oh, maybe I should be grateful for these things that I take for granted.
Exactly. That's the point. People only think about engineering when things get messed up and go wrong. Right. So you only think about electricity when you don't have lights. You only think about toilets when they're stinky and blocked. But the engineering marvel is these things work. You have access to basic water sanitation services. We open a tap, we get water, we flush, our poo gets flushed away. And so does our problems every day.
I wish.
Can I get this on like a permanent alarm? So I feel like this is going to be a really nice way to wake problems up. Like, we're going to flush away your problems, just like your poo. I think this sounds a fantastic way to deal with life.
But the thing is, we are lucky, but there are billions of people on this planet who do not have access to decent toilets, to taps, and they struggle every day to sort out their poo. in a manner which mm-hmm. is dignified.
Well, this is what we wanted to talk to you a bit about today, Priti. So could we actually start with how you got into civil engineering and what sparked your interest? And we'll go from there. I'm sure there's lots of things to unpack with the Poo Power story.
So I got interested in engineering as a teenager. My dad used to work in slums as an engineer. And I walked around with him and I noticed in slums that people had tiny houses and they did not have toilets. They did not have taps in the houses. And I just asked them, what do you do about poo? And they said, well, there's this little box in the middle of the field, which is called a public toilet. And we queue up there to go to toilet. We queue up for an hour sometimes. Sometimes we miss work. Sometimes our kids miss school. So that got me really thinking about engineering and got me excited about engineering and what engineering could do.
That's incredible. That's
incredible. And where about in the world do people not have access to effective sanitation in the way that we do? And what might it typically look like for them today?
Sure. So parts of the world would include South Asia, Sub-Saharan Africa, parts of Latin America. Predominantly people who live on lower incomes, who would live in what we call informal settlements, sometimes villages, refugee camps as well. Whilst I say this is more a low middle income country problem, but even in UK we see this. All of us have had a bad experience using public toilet, right? So even in UK sometimes we've all had bad experiences of using public toilets, a bad toilet day, we've gone into toilets which are smelly, the flush doesn't work. So yeah. I personally think that sanitation is a universal problem. It's a gap. We are not sorting out our poo properly.
In defence of British public toilets, it's normally me that is the problem, Ron.
Are you sure about that?
We should all, you know, take accountability here.
The bad experience I've had in the public toilets has been as a result of myself.
Have you ever been in a toilet where you've run out of loo roll?
Oh, yes,
there
yes,
you go. Constantly. All those little details, all those things which really matter. If you don't have water, if you don't have soap, if you don't have toilet rolls, and they seem very little.
It doesn't
things.
Flush.
It doesn't flush. And women's toilet, there's always a queue. Let's have more of those, please. So there's all those little problems that somehow, you know, as scientists, as engineers, we know how to design those things. It's not new science, but we're not cracking the problem.
And that's something you've just mentioned that I really wanted to ask you about was queues. And we see queues predominantly, almost exclusively, for people using women's toilets. Why is that and what can we do about that?
Well, we need more toilets for women, very simply put, because it takes us longer. And also we have menstrual hygiene and other things to think about as well. We need time to change sanitary pads or tampons and those kind of things, right? So the toilets do not account for the fact that women need more time, an extra minute. Mm. We need more of those units. We need more privacy. So yes, I think people assume, and this comes back to how we design our cities and gender and design, we need 50% of the population, women, to design cities for 50% of the population. And that's not happening.
There's a huge issue around, I suppose, engineering being led, I suppose, by men mm-hmm. mostly. So that, I suppose, the consideration to women's toilets isn't the same. Yeah. And also, I've noticed a lot when I've been pushing prams, pavements aren't big enough. It's not designed by people who 50% of the population.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, we talk about inclusive design and inclusive leadership and teams. I mean, for me, EDI is just not a tick box exercise. It's more about if you have those collective ideas, thoughts and lived experiences, it means you can bring those insights into practical designs. It means you can make our cities better.
How often are you seeing it being proposed, the idea of genderless toilets? I know there's been a lot of speak about it in the news recently, and Rishi Sunak does not have an opinion that I agree with, that it shouldn't be taken seriously. What's your opinion on it?
There's a mixed opinion on this, right? Because some people are like, wow, this is brilliant. It means everyone has equal access to toilet. But there have also been some concerns on privacy. Do women have private spaces? Are they losing those private spaces? So I think that this is an active discussion and debate with very mixed views. And this will vary around the world depending on the culture and context. There'll be some cultures and contexts where it'd be an absolute no-no. So I think there are a lot of exciting new design questions to be considered around toilets and what the future of toilets is. I'm personally also a big fan of Japanese toilets, but that's more secret passion of having gadgets and those fancy toilets. On one hand,
what are they like?
Yeah, what is it about the Japanese toilets that does it for you, Prissy?
Well, it understands you, doesn't it? It's a bit like artificial intelligence in toilets.
To your soul.
Yes, it's like artificial AI for toilets, right? Because it understands the temperature that you like. It knows how to flush. As I said, it's like your Alexa or artificial intelligence for toilets.
I like this. I mean, why bother dating when you could just have...
marry your toilet. Yes. That understands you.
This talk about as well designing toilets, I wonder as well is if it's starting this initiative that would get people excited. There's so many programs on TV at the minute where it's design competitions. I've been watching a fantastic one at the minute with Angela Scanlon. Make My Garden Perfect.
Of course I have.
And it's designers competing to each show their vision for somebody's garden, and then the person decides. I wonder if we could spark some interest and get people to design toilets, because when it actually came down to it, if you got a tick list of what you want and need from a toilet, I wonder what the general public
toilets for the future. Yes. And you know, you spend so much time in toilets, right? I mean, that's the first point of call when you start your day, and possibly the last point of call when you finish your day. And I think we take it for granted. I come back to this. We take it for granted in London that wherever we go, we have toilets. But imagine you had to spend a day where you didn't have toilets. I mean, and that's what I do in my stand-up comedy, is I try and recreate life without toilets.
Can you talk to us a bit about how you got involved in stand-up, Pretty? We were watching some of your videos. They're absolutely fantastic,
by the way.
Yeah,
the power of poo.
Yeah, the power of poo. We love it.
Well, the thing about comedy, stand-up comedy, is it's a nice way of sharing lived experiences. So the sequence I use is around flying toilets. It's around setting myself in a slum where there are no toilets and desperately needing the toilet at the night. Now, the toilet close to me is half an hour walk. It's in the dark. It's not safe to go out there. What do I do? I take my poo, I put it in a plastic bag, wrap it up very carefully, open the door, make sure none of the neighbors are watching me, and I make sure I take the bag, swing it around with the right momentum. I'm an engineer still, even though I'm slumming it at the moment. That's important. And I throw it across to the neighbor who I dislike. But of course, and that's called a flying toilet. And I've recreated a flying toilet because I don't have a toilet in my house and it's desperate times. But of course, everyone's had the same bright idea. So then when I wake up the next day and open my front door, I've got lovely poo bags next to my front door as well. But this gets even worse because the next day I try it out and it has rained in the night. So I wake up. Oh, so there's not only little lovely poo bags, but there's also a lot of water and there's a flood outside my house. So there's little pool bags, which are not only swimming, but it's all exploded.
Oh, God.
It's also just started raining here, by the way. I'm already just starting to mentally think of all the little my neighbours don't like me very much.
Flying pool bags floating around. And then, of course, I have to get to work in this as well.
Oh,
but but the thing is, when I narrate it, the penny drops and people go, oh, I see. This is why life is difficult without toilets, because you have to either queue up to use the toilet, pay for it as well, per use, or you resort to such measures of handling your waste yourself, throwing it in bags, and that leads to unsanitary kind of environmental and living conditions. People fall ill. But when I narrate it as the flying toilet sequence in my stand-up, it really drives the message home how important toilets are. A lot of women in India and many parts of the world who live in slums, they all have stomach problems because they don't have toilets. Because what happens is if you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and need to go, you try and hold it in until it's a decent time, until it's not dark, it's safe. So people try and hold it in then.
I can't even imagine the toll that would start to take on somebody's body. Pretty, did you get any sort of buzz when you were doing your stand-up comedy? I think a lot of people, when they talk to us about doing our podcast, say, oh, you're so brave to talk about these things that I'm so shy about. And I wonder if, you know, more people might take a leaf out of your book and actually get up on stage and talk about these things. So, they might feel better. How was your experience?
So my honest confession is that the first time I did it, I was so nervous. So actually, I didn't eat a lot or drink a lot.
Oh, there we go.
Because I was partly worried about the fact that what happens if I need to pop to the loo, if I'm so nervous about the whole damn thing. So I spent the day almost not eating and drinking. And then I rocked up to this pub and we were doing this for charity, sort of a few women scientists who were doing stand-up for charity. And there was a little lovely, friendly audience who had kind of got stuck into their beers and they're having such a good laugh. And I was thinking, why did I spend my day not eating and drinking? So after that, I think I grew more confident and more excited about it. But the first one was very, very hard.
Of course. I mean, the first time you put yourself out there to do anything, you think about what you're going to eat and drink and if you're going to go to the toilet. We've experienced exactly that.
Yeah. I mean, and stand-up is scary, not knowing what you're going to say. What was the audience responses on your first time doing stand-up?
It was brilliant. They were so kind. I mean, I started off by saying, hello, I'm pretty. And there's this laughter in the room. And then I knew, okay, I had friends in my audience. And funny enough, my dad, who's an engineer, was in the audience. So I shamelessly used him as a prop as well. Okay. And some of my friends' dads were in the audience and they were engineers. So I used them as a prop. But I actually made a flying toilet bag and I threw it in the audience.
Oh my gosh. And did it have anything inside?
Yes, it had a Mars bar inside.
Oh,
very nice.
Very, yeah, log life.
A lookalike, yes.
Perfect choice.
I could see everyone looking shocked at going, why is she throwing this bag of supposedly poo?
Enjoy. How was the stand-up you went to last night? Yeah, it was good until she threw a bag of shit at us at the end.
It's like when people wear those ponchos and they're like, you know, the don't, you'll get wet area. Oh, like Shamu kind of gone.
Yeah, you
like,
need ponchos.
It's a real different.
For my act, you need ponchos. You need to be well protected.
Have you seen that viral video of these, it's in America, they were at this kind of zoo where the monkey enclosure was a little bit open and a monkey threw his poo. And it landed on a woman's nose and somebody managed to film it. I urge you to watch it, Pretty. It will really really pick up any sad day.
I shall use it in my future comedy materials. I can use it in my future comedy material.
And speaking of future comedy material, have you anything lined up that you're doing?
Yes. So I'm working on a piece looking at electricity now in townships and how electricity can save marriages and lead to domestic bliss.
Oh, my goodness.
Plug-in vibrators. I'm so sorry.
I saw the twinkle in your eye. I'm like, is she going to really? Do it?
Well, it's about how people watch TVs and how, therefore, they stay out of trouble because of electricity. And I'm also going to add to that an exploding fridge. Because what happens when you have erratic power supplies and power cuts, appliances get damaged. So I'm going to add in a few exploding appliances, but more to come on that next year.
I love this. I think this is the best kind of comedy, actually, when it's a comment on everyday life and things like our bowels or our fridge that we maybe don't think about as much as we should. And it's, I feel like that's always the best kind of social commentary. We always ask our guests, Pretty, if they have any toilet tales of their own, any confessional stories that may have happened to them about their bowels, medical appointments, anything you like.
Sure. One of my hobbies is I like trying toilets around the world, new types of toilets. I like taking photographs. I've got a collection of photographs. You can see how sad I am.
No, I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
And I went to a village in India where I looked at this toilet in a school and I was trying to figure out which, it was one of the Indian toilets where you just squat and sit down and use them. Mm. And I was trying to figure out for 10 minutes which was the right way to sit down. And after 10 or 15 minutes of dilemma, I used the facilities. And I came out and did a consultation with locals there. And they said, no, you've used it the wrong way around, much to my embarrassment.
Oh, well.
I'm confused. Where do you position yourself to use it the wrong way around?
Well, because the thing is, there was kind of two holes and a slope. And being an engineer, I made assumptions about, well, if you have a slope, things go up to down, downstream.
I think that's fair enough.
Yes, but clearly I was not correct in this instance.
What's the benefit of having the slope below?
There was under the hole. Yeah. So they explained to me there was under the hole.
Like crazy golf.
Crazy, like goes, yeah, like mini golf. It was a bit like mini golf.
Yeah.
I've heard of, my friend went travelling and he discovered what he was describing as the bum gun, which is like, are you aware of the bum gun? Yeah, could you?
Of course she is.
I really loved the sound of this bum gun.
What's
a
bum gun?
I want one installed in my home. Could you just explain about the bum gun and why we don't have them? Well, they're not, I think they're not legal in the UK because they don't meet sanitation.
So my understanding of the bum gum is that they're like these open pit toilets. Have I understood correctly? The one you see in trains where you just poo and things go just down out in a hole.
The bum gun is like a small shower head where you spray yourself down.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, actually, the thing is, if you use to bum gum, nothing else is suitable. Because it's very effective in cleaning. Apparently, it's better in cleaning than toilet roll. So if you're used to it. But the challenge with the bum gun is the water needs to be at the right pressure and the right volume to make it.
The Japanese toilets.
Keep on coming back to Japanese toilets because they've figured everything out.
And you know what temperature you like. I don't think anyone in the world knows what temperature I like.
Not until you meet a Japanese toilet. I am intrigued out of all, when you said you've been taking photos of your favourite toilets, where is number one? What is ranking top on this
list?
Great
question, Claudia.
Well, this was a beautiful one. So I worked on a project where we helped build toilets, and then the residents went off and decorated them. So there's this beautiful, gorgeous toilet with blue, red, white tiles done up, and it's almost like a museum. So it's a gorgeous picture. And then there's a little girl standing outside the toilet, so proud of this beautiful place. And that was my number one picture. It reminded me that how gorgeous toilets can be.
This could be made into a really beautiful coffee book, I think. A coffee table book.
So I've got some really
nice... Not a coffee
nice...
book, that'll go right down in the toilet.
Yeah, but people decorated the toilets with beautiful tiles, patterns, so it became a work of art.
That's gorgeous.
I do love, I love in houses, in like a downstairs toilet when they're very, very small, but really compact, clean, with like very bold wallpaper.
Yes.
I think that's my favourite thing in the world.
I honestly, guys, we need to start this design programme. I think
toilets and bathrooms.
I think people would go bonkers for this shit.
Because you could have like a bit like interior design masters, you know, where they have a week, it's like you're going to do a hotel and then you're going to do a cafe. It could be like a public toilet, an aeroplane toilet.
Yes.
I mean, there are just toilets everywhere.
Yeah, portable toilets. Guys, I mean, you go to festivals. You go to festivals and you need toilets. You need portable toilets.
Yes.
You need toilets everywhere.
I think we need to start treating our bums with a bit more respect, giving them the 5-star quality that we expect from a Japanese toilet. This should be everywhere,
that is
on the walls
standard.
And the sink.
I think we need to invest better in our bums. We need more investment.
Yes. And that's the tagline, Pretty. That you've nailed it.
No bum tax. I don't want a bum tax.
And all this toilet chat, we really should point out. So this episode will be airing on World Toilet Day. Pretty, do you have, if there's one thing that we could do to commemorate this day, maybe, you know, I obviously
scatter
celebrate.
Scatter your ashes of your last
pint. I was thinking more, you know, we've had some amazing chat about things that we could potentially do to help those less fortunate than ourselves in the toilet sanitation department. What should we do to commemorate World Toilet Day?
Let's invest more in decent toilets for everyone. Let's just do it.
Is there anything that the common person could do to invest? Is there somebody, a local MP we could write to, a charity?
They could write to MPs. There are charities who work on toilets both in UK. Because even in UK, we have homeless communities. They need access to toilets. But overseas, there are organisations like WaterAid, for example. So just write to your MPs, organisations, just be aware of this need. Find any opportunity to campaign about it, whether it's in media. Also, this is a call to students, a call to engineers who work in the field. Please raise awareness with your ministers. with funding agencies, banks, because it's important everyone invests in infrastructure.
It really is.
Amazing. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Pretty. We hugely appreciate it.
Always love talking about poo.
Well, thank you, Pretty.
Thank you so much, Pretty. And something that she's made me think about actually is accessibility to toilets for homeless people. It's not really something I've thought about before. I think about needing a bed for the night and a shower and, mm-hmm. and things, but actually you haven't really considered needing the toilet, which is baffling considering how much I think about myself needing the toilet.
Yeah, and it is something that would probably hit home the most actually if it was told, if you were told that you were not going to have anywhere to go to, for the toilet for the day.
Yeah, so I would just, the whole day would revolve around that.
Yeah, it's astounding how much we don't actually speak about that, or how I have literally never thought about that until that moment.
Quite.
Oh, these fucking dogs again. Now can She's you hear my neighbour shouting at them? So I'm saying, if I had a bag of poo to fling, I know who I'd friggin' fling out, which neighbours I'd send it to. Jesus Christ. Honestly, but thank you, Prissy. I think your work is...
That aside,
I think your work is astounding. I think it's really exciting as well what could be done with this kind of mindset of using stand-up to talk about these issues. It's not something that I've ever really seen before.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And to be honest, I've just had not given, until we spoke to Sean actually, I didn't really think about the way in which our waste is taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thank you so much for bringing our attention to it and for having such a generous open chat with us. If you would like to send us any toilet tales of your own, you mm-hmm. can email us at thepoodcastofficial@gmail.com, or you can find us on social media at @the_poodcast.
That was really beautiful.
Thank you so much. Stunning.
Thank you. Stunning work. Well, I hope you all have a lovely World Toilet Day. I hope you are, like we are, feeling grateful for what you may have in that field. Or if you have a field, you're really lucky. Go out and do a poo in there.
If you've got a field?
Yeah.
God, I'd love a field.
I'd love a field.
Yeah.
Invite us to your field. Let's have a poo-cast festival.
We will come a poo in your field.
Beautiful.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.